Today's daf in Masechet Zevachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKadesh, is daf Yud Aleph, and we're holding on the bottom of Yud Omud Beis, and we are in the middle of the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim about the comparison of Chatas to Asham. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that from the Pasuk of Kechatat Ke'asham, we have to compare all of the dinim, and one of those dinim, that was the latest machlokas that we had, was the question of knisas dam lifnim. So remember that there is a halacha in which the dam of a chatas, that is nichnas bifnim, it comes into the heichal, that chatas becomes posel. And the question is that a din dafke in the chatas, or does it apply also to the asham? So Rebbe Eliezer, kishitato, compares Asham to Chatas in terms of the din of Shelo Lishma, also compares the din of Chatas to Asham, or Asham to Chatas, I should say, in the din of Nichnas Dama Lifnim. And so according to him, in fact, the dam would be puzzle. And the Chachonim say, no, not true. Now, it's understandable, says the Gemara Bishlama, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer brought a pasuk. I mean, he's going to argue on the Hekesh. The Torah said, Kechatat Kasham, and that's the end of the discussion. But how can the Rabbanan argue on the pasuk? The pasuk says, Beferish. Let's say it's true. Remember, we had the Shita yesterday of Rabbi Akiva, who said, Kol, and that it says, Vichol. Of when it talked about v'chol chatat asher yuva midamal oed moed l'chaper b'kodesh ro te'achel. Okay, we don't hold it, we don't darsh in the v'chol to include other korbanas. But afal pikein, you still at least would have to hold like Rebbe Eliezer. Instead, we have three tishitas. According to Rebbe Akiva, we're marbe all dam. According to Rechomim, we're marbe no dam. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, we still have our asham and chatas comparison. So, answers the Gemara Marava, Osham nichnas damo lifnim pasul lo metzisam. You simply cannot say that the Torah would be telling you such a thing, because it would contradict all of the other dinim. Because look, I mean, take a look at a kal v'chomer from an ola. If an ola, which is kalil, and that gives it a tremendous chumra, it's brought entirely on the mizbeach, nothing is shared with kohanim or with anybody else, and afal pike nichnas damo lifnim kshera, if you bring its dam inside, then for sure, both according to Rachamim and according to Rabbi Eliezer, who don't agree with Rabbi Akiva's v'chol chatat, so therefore, if you, Rabbi Eliezer, say the Rachamim, you, Rabbi Eliezer, agree that even an oila doesn't become posel if its dam is nichlas, so an asham, which is nowhere near that level of kedusha, it's in a kolil, lo kol shekens, how could you possibly believe that the Torah is telling you something that would be a contradiction to the overall structure of the dinim of kachim? Well, it doesn't prove anything to me, says Rabbi Eliezer. Of course not. An oila, it's all very nice about an oila, but remember that what it is that asham and chatas share is that they are both mechaprim. So what do you bring me a raya from Khalil? I understand Khalil, but look, the bottom line is that it's the kapara that's the critical factor. And just like a chatas is b'chaper, you bring its dam lefnim, and that dam becomes puzzle for kapara. So too, if you bring the dam of an asham, what's your problem? Well, that doesn't mean anything, says the Gemara, because I know that kapara is not the issue. Take a look at the minchas chote. The minchas chote, which is the level of the korban, Eila the Yoret, that is brought by someone who can't even afford to name of Neonai, can't afford birds. He brings a Minchas Chote, and there is no problem. If you bring a Minchas Chote into the Heichal, the Minchas Chote does not become Pasul. That means even if you bring the Kometz, remember the Kometz of the Minchas, we've explained before. The kometz of the mincha is the equivalent of the dam of the korban. Remember, we went through yesterday the various parallels between menachos and zvachim. Okay, so if the dam, so to speak, of the mincha that's nichlas lifnim isn't possible, even though that mincha is coming to be mechaper, clearly kapara is not the critical factor. Well, wait a minute. A chatas oaf is coming to also to be mechaper, and it also does not become possible if you bring its dam. Isn't that a better raya than, I mean, why did you ask for minchas chote? Hakatas Ha'of is at least similar in the fact that it has blood. I mean, a mincha, you could say, look, mincha is irrelevant because it's not a zevach, and the Torah was only talking about dam. Yes, you see, but I couldn't bring raya from Hakatas Ha'of because Hakatas Ha'of itself was a question that Rabbi Ovin raised and suggested that perhaps Hakatas Ha'of, where the dam, how can you bring the dam? You don't accept the dam in a kos on Hakatas Ha'of. How would you bring the dam in? So the case over there that Rav Ovin raised was, suppose you did Malika on the Hakatas Ha'of, and you walked in holding the bird with the neck that was already Maluk, and it has blood in it. So that's the equivalent, perhaps, of bringing it in with the kos of a Zevach. That was Rav Ovin's question. And we couldn't decide over there what the din was, and therefore I don't want to bring a raya from something that I don't even know if it's true. So I'm not going to answer him that. Okay, so because of that, Hakatas Ha'of I ignored. All right, so we said before that the Minchas Chote shows that it's not Kapora that is critical. What do you mean? But Minchas Chote can't prove anything. It doesn't have any blood. Yes, but the Ola does have blood. So now we do a Chozer Hadin. Lori Zek Rizeh, Lori Zek Rizeh. Both of them are examples of Kodesh Kodashim. Common denominator is that they are Kodesh Kodashim. The komitz of the mincha is Kodesh Kadashim, the dam of the Ola is Kodesh Kadashim. If that machshir, the dam or the komitz, is nichnas lefnim, it's kosher. Same thing is true of an osham. It would have to be, since it too is Kodesh Kadashim, you'd say it's very chomer, afal piken, nichnas dam lefnim, is kosher, and therefore we argue, say the chachomim on Rebbe Eliezer, and we do not believe that you can say that chatas ke'osham is a din in nichnas dam lefnim on an osham. This is not persuasive because there is a tzad hashove that actually makes them less likely to be posel bifnim than an asham would, and therefore they can't prove the case. Because you could say, look, the fact is that neither a chatas ha'ov or the case of the minchas chayte have any kind of fixed amount that you have to pay for them. So there's no din in their value. But there is, an asham has to be a minimum of shnei sulayim, because it says bekesef shkalim. So therefore, you could say that that doesn't prove anything, ma'atzad ha'shava shabam, that those two things have no monetary specification. Elam kitzva. Tomer ba'asham sheyesh lo kitzva. So this is not a good reason for the Rabbanu to argue with Rebbe Eliezer. Why, again, I ask you the question, why don't the Rabbanu agree that kachatat ka'asham is proof positive that there is 100% a hekesh that cannot be denied, and that compares the dam of the asham that was nichnas bifnim to the dam of the chatas that was nichnas bifnim? They would have to agree with Rebbe Eliezer that it would be possible. So tell me another reason. Ella, okay, I'll tell you another reason. The reason that they say that the dam of the chatas and only the dam of the chatas is possible and not the dam of the asham is because if you read the pasuk carefully, it says, v'chol chatat asher yuva midama. Now, what does it say, midama? Midama, with that mapikei, means hadam she'la. And if that's the case, it means only dama shel zu, velo dama shel acher, nothing else other than the chatas' blood. So if the Torah beferish excludes the asham, you're not going to use the kechatat ke'asham to tell me something that it's beferish are telling you do not say. I'm telling you only the dam chatas and nothing else. How does Rebbe Eliezer deal with that? V'idach, does the Torah not say dama? Ah, no, that's coming to tell me something else. That's coming to tell me dama velo bisara. It's a completely different issue. You would have thought that perhaps if you bring in even the actual body of the chatas into the heichal, that it would become possible. So therefore, it's telling me, no, only the dama velo bisara. But it's not saying dama velo dama shel acher. So that is a wrong understanding of the pasuk alone. I do not understand. You set up the entire house to create a halo around your head, and then you're sitting to the side. Will you please position? There you go. Okay. So now, if that's the case, what exactly would the Rabbanit say about that? They say, well, there's two different issues over here. It says dam, and that would have been enough to say only the dam, and then we darshan also, but it also says dama. So since the Torah says dama specifically, and dam would exclude basar, it could have just said asheyavah mimena. If it's saying mayasheyavo dam, then it means blood. Then when you say its blood, you're saying dafka its blood and not an Hashem's blood. What does one have to do with the other? And Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't believe that those are two separate things. You had to say the word dam in order to mean not basar. So once you say dam, what are you going to say? Asher yuva mi dam. I mean, it doesn't even sound nice. So there, I mean, there's such a thing as dibra Torah, you know, kelosha meni adam. The way you, once you say dam, you've got to say dama. Okay. So now we've got this din, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in two very important ways the Asham and the Chatas are compared. First of all, the psul of shelo lishma that is said by Chatas is applied to the Asham as well. And therefore, there's three separate dinim, one of the Karban Pesach, one of the Karban Chatas, and one of the Karban Asham, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that are posul shelo lishma, whereas according to the Chachamim, there's only two. The other difference is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Asham dam ha-asham, that is nichvas into the heichal, passels the asham, and according to Rabbanan, it does not passel the asham. So now, Bishlam al Rabbanan, getting back to the machlokas, the primary machlokas, which is the machlokas in the Mishnah, about whether shelo lishma passels. So according to the Rabbanan, who say that an asham that you're shechted shelo lishma is kosher, so now I understand why the Torah actually, fascinatingly, makes the very strangest hekesh in which the mincha is compared both to a chatas and to an asham. Now that's like really a little bit strange because, I mean, if the dinim are different, so then, how can we compare them to two different halachas? You know, that's crazy. If they're the same, so now, it says in the Brit, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodesh, Kodashim, hi kachatat uche asham. So the mincha has a din of Kodesh Kodashim, both like the chatas does and like the mincha does. Okay, I mean, in what sense is it like one and like the other? Well, it's coming to tell me a very important halacha, says Rabbi Shimon. The mincha schote is compared to the chatas in terms of the din of shelo lishma. So just like a chatas that you did the avedas adam shelo lishma, and if you do this zvicha shelo lishma, if you do the kemitzah shelo lishma, it's similar to doing the exact same thing as the shchita. And as we said, the kemitzah of a mincha is the shchita of the zevach. And therefore, if you did the kmitza of the mincha schote, it's like doing the shchita of the animal chote, meaning the chatas. It's possible. But if it's a minchas nedava, it's just something that you gave, and it's not coming as the kapor of a chait, then it has a din of an asham. And therefore, if you do the kmitza of a minchas nedava shelo lishma, it's the same thing as doing a shchita of an eilo or a shlomim that you're bringing as a nedava. What's the halacha over there? If you do the shchita shelo lishma, it's a perfectly kosher shlomim, right? Same thing is true of the mincha. If you bring a mincha that was being brought as a gift and you do it shelo lishma, fine. It is kosher the same way that the other one is. So that makes sense that the Pesuk would go out of its way to compare the mincha, both the asham and the chatas, because those are two different dinim. But if you hold that a chatas and asham is exactly the same, then what is the purpose of saying kechatat keasham, for heaven's sakes? So according to Rabbi Yetzer, who holds chatas and asham have exactly the same dinim, shelo lishma, what is the point of comparing it to two different dinim, both to the chatas and the asham? Says Rabbi Eliezer, I will tell you. The reason that you have to have the comparison both to chatas and to asham is because of the other din that Rabbi Shimon speaks about in the Mishnah in Menachos. And that is also an amazing halacha. Let's say that you're mekabel the dam of achatas in your hands, and you don't do the Kabbalah in a cup, is it kosher? No. It needs to be Kabbalah specifically in a kos, kippurei zahav. Fine. But what about a mincha? Now, what is keneged the Kabbalah Saddam of a mincha? Doot, 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 doot. The putting it into the kli, correct. And that means that if I do the kmitza, the pan is a little bit of a strange word because the pan could be the pan that you baked it in, rather, which is not the pan that you're mekadesh the komets in. Right, so this is kli, we call it. Don't call it a pan. All right, but because the pan will often refer to the marchesha, so the machavat, that's how we use the word pan. And that's important later on when we need to decide whether the mincha had kedusha from the time it was put into the pan, which is not what we're talking about over here. Here we're talking about the kedusha saguf of the komets. So the komets now is put into a kli, and that is the same as the dam being put into the kli. So therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, I disagree with the Chachomim. The Chachomim say if you take a kometz of a mincha and you do not put it into a klishores, then it is pasul. If you just put it in your hand and you brought it on the mizbeach, the mincha is pasul because the kmitz of the mincha is the shrita and the dam, so to speak, is that kometz. And just like the dam has to be in a klishores, the mincha has to be in the klishores, and holocha would only be kosher if you take that klishores, right? Basha Inkin, Rabbi Shimon says, no, I disagree, it's kosher. And here is the key reason why I need that pasuk of kechatat v'ka'asham. Because v'omer Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rabbi Chiya, what's his reason? Elmar kor kodesh kodashimi kechatat v'ka'asham. If you're going to be doing it by hand and you're not going to be doing it inside of a kli, then you have to use your right hand the way you would have used the dam of the chatas. We learned beferish later on, you must use your right hand finger in order to put it on the mizbeach. And over there, it's dafka. You do not use a kli. You use your finger. That's one of the differences between HaKohen HaMechate, where the chatas is applied to the chuda shel keren, as we learned yesterday. I'd just like to review the halachas, even though they're not relevant to this particular point. But we use your finger. The same thing is true when it comes to a mincha, if you want. And if you want to do it, then it's kechatat. So then use your right hand the same way it would be a chatat. However, if you decide you want to bring the komets in the klishores, so you can actually use your simol to bring the klishores to the mizbeach, and that would be the same as the osham, which according to Rabbi Shimon, you can hold the klishores with the dam in your left hand. Why is that? Because, we'll see later on. I mean, he actually learns it out of a pasuk, but we'll wait till we get to those dinim. All right. In any event, according to Rabbi Shimon, it makes perfectly good sense, Rabbi Yezer. Kechatat, if it's biyad, ke'asham, if it's bekli, as opposed to the way the Chachomim are saying, kechatat, if it's a bechaper like a chatat, and if it's an adava, ke'asham. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Rabbi Shimon was the one who said the other drasha. How can Rabbi Shimon use this pasuk for two things? Rabbi Shimon was the one who said before that if it's like a chatas, so like an asham, is the other din, that if it's shalo lishma and it's a chatas, meaning it's coming al chait, then it's pasul. But if it's not coming al chait, then it's like an asham and it's kosher. But, well, which one is it? You can't use the same pasuk, can you? Well, the truth is, the main thing that he's learning is what we just had now, which is Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya explained the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon as being a function of kechatat v'chasham, bala of the biyad, or bala of the bekli. As far as the comparison to Shalo Lishma is concerned, which was the earlier drasha that we said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, the truth is that there's a different basis for that. The Minchas Chote is poshul shelo lishma because of another reason. Time out, Rino. It's just that for shorthand's sake, we put the two things into the same drush. I want to point out to you that it's because of this and similar Gemaras that the Rambam will often take a drusha in the Gemara that's being used for item A, and he will explain in Mishneh Torah that this is the marker of item B. And that's because once we have the drushas, the Rambam's understanding is that all of the psukim are reflective of the overall dinim, and you don't need to focus on the particular thing that allowed you to make that. It becomes a universal in which each pasuk is now a synergetic effect with the other psukims. I don't have to tell you the one specific pasuk which you'll say it's only because of that, because otherwise I would have learned out something else. But I'm not talking about the otherwise. I'm talking about after we already learned out everything. And after we already learned out everything, then whatever is the most clear-cut way for you to hear it, that's what I'm going to bring. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The basis of the drasha is Taima Achrina. But the fact that it is now lies within, it is subsumed within the din of Kechatat V'Chasham is obviously true. Therefore, there's no contradiction between these two elements of Rabbi Shimon. That's classic Rambam theory about drasha, and he applies it all the time. Anyway, so what is that other Taima Achrina? Who? Because the Chatas Taima Mai. What's the real reason that a Korban Chatas is possible? We saw earlier, if it's done Shelo Lishma, we learned that from the Pasuk of Hu. And that was one of the Pesukim, anyway, that we had brought before. And therefore, since it says Hu by the Korban Chatas, it says the same thing by the Minchas Chote. And the Lashon of the Minchas Chote is Minchas Chote, it says, He. And that is the same as who if you're in the keva. So therefore, it says, Melo kumso, et askarata, aviktir hamizbecha lishe Hashem chatat he. So therefore, it should be the same exact halacha. That's the real basis. Now, what about according to the Rabbanan? According to the Rabbanan, they say there is no din of comparing legabi the dinim of shelo lishma kechatat v'chaasham. So then, why did the Torah say kechatat v'chaasham? I don't understand. If it's not the same, it's not the same. Because it is the same in another din. According to the Rabbanan, the Hekesh is there in order to teach me the halach of smicha. Just like a chatas requires smicha, so too an osham requires smicha. And remember what's there, it says by chatas beferish. V'samach et yado al rosh hachatat. So this is the time in which the person who's bringing the chatas has to lean on it with his weight going down on the head of the chatas. This is what he will say, vidui, and so on. But it's a separate din in smicha, and that smicha is true of an asham, despite the fact that the Torah never said a word about smicha on the asham. So according to the Rabbanan, that itself is enough of a reason to say kechatat kasham. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. Now let's move on to the next din in the Mishnah. The next din in our Mishnah was Yosef ben Choni, who said that it's a bidirectional psul, and that other korbanas that are nishchat for the Pesach during the time of which the Pesach is shochut lishmo, and then you shecht it instead an oila for a Pesach. Normally, it wouldn't be possible if you did an oila for a shlamin, but if you do an oila for a Pesach, the same way the Pesach is possible for the oila is possible for the Pesach, and of course, that's only during the time that it's Pesach time, which is only the afternoon of Yudalit. But a chatas, if you shechted anything for chatas at any time, because a chatas is always kosher, if you shechted it at any time, the din would be that it would be posel. So that means that he's extending the din to be bilateral. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I believe that this halach of Yosef ben Choni in our Mishnah is in complete agreement of Rebbe Eliezer Shita in a Braita, and they're basically saying the same thing. I believe that Rebbe Eliezer holds exactly that, that the psul of Shelo Lishma, the special cases of Chatas and Pesach, are bilateral dinim, and each will pasul the other. Now, I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. Whereas Rabba says, I do not agree with Rebbe Yochanan, and actually, I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, too. But what I hold is that on one thing, Yosef ben Choni and Rebbe Eliezer agree, namely that the Pesach, indeed, if you shecht an oila for a Pesach, bezmana of the Pesach, that it's possible. However, when it comes to shechting an oila for a chatas, or any other carbon for a chatas, there they argue. And Yosef ben Choni holds, well, I hold it's the same thing with the chatas, but Rebbe Eliezer would definitely not agree that the same din is true of the chatas. And now let's prove it. Here is the braita that we're referring to, and this is the braita that Rebbe Yochanan and Rabba argue about. D'tanya, here's the braita. Pesach sh'avra shnato. Remember that we had before that the din is that motar Pesach. We had three different psukim about motar Pesach. Remember? One of those psukim, it didn't matter which one, it's just the fact that there were three separate limudim that taught us the halacha of motar Pesach. One of those psukim was used to tell me that if the Pesach passed its first birthday, and then you shecht it, it is being shechted as a shlomim. And that we brought from the limud that a Pesach turns into a shlomim. So that's one of the motar Pesach that becomes a shlomim. All right. So this was a Pesach that got too old, and you went ahead and you shechted it during the correct time, meaning on Erev Pesach, and you shechted it as a Pesach. Okay, but it isn't a Pesach. It's a shlomim. So this is the din of shechting a shlomim for a Pesach, correct? V'chein, ha-shochet acherim l'shem Pesach bezmano, or if you took any other carbon, such as a real shlomim, and you shechted that shlomim as a Pesach, on Erev Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer posel. Okay, now this is the basis of our thinking that Rebbe Eliezer apparently holds it's bilateral. In the same way that a Pesach shechted for something else is pasul, so too is a shlomim or an ex-Pesach, which is too old, which has become a shlomim, so too would it be pasul for a Pesach. So obviously Rebbe Eliezer agrees with Yosef ben Choni when it comes to the din of, specifically, the din of Pesach. Now, we don't know what he holds about the Chatas, okay? That's where the argument we have over here between Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan. Is that true about a Chatas as well? Now we're going to get to the part that makes that clear. Continues the Braisa. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, no, in Bishar Yimot HaShana, She'eno Kosher L'Shmo, Acherim K'sherim L'Shmo, Bizmano shehu kasher lishmo, eno din sheyukshiru acherim lishmo. That doesn't make any sense. Because, look, all year round, if a Pesach is shechted as a carbon Pesach, it's pasul. Not because of shelo lishmo, not because of shelo l'shem baalim. It's simply pasul because the Torah repeated on numerous occasions, bein ha'arbaim, is the time that you shecht your carbon up Pesach, correct? You remember those words, Ben Arbaim, and that is included in the overall Gavi rule of Shana Alav HaKatuv La'akev. And therefore, it is for sure going to be possible. All right? Now, if the Pesach is not kosher for itself, and nonetheless, if you shechted a shlomim for a Pesach during that time, and they are kosher during that time. Everybody agrees to that. Rebbe Eliezer said only where the Pesach is shechted during the Erev Pesach period. But he certainly doesn't argue that the rest of the year a shechita l'shem Pesach is of absolutely no meaning, because a shechita the rest of the year is the same. A Pesach the rest of the year is a shlamim, and therefore it's the same din as shechpin shalom l'shemot v'shlamim. So I say, says Rabbi Yeshua, it's a kal v'chomer. Bizmano, where the Pesach itself is kosher for its own, so isn't it for sure? Eino din sheyichsheru acherim l'shmo? It's not mistaber to say that other things should become more pasul. If you do it at a time when the Pesach itself is pasul and it's kosher, so certainly if you do it at a time that the Pesach is kosher, so for sure they should be kosher. Which, Rebbe Eliezer obviously shows, makes no sense at all. Because, says Rebbe Eliezer, what's the matter with you? You could say exactly the opposite. Don't you understand? If you're going to apply that type of svara, you are going to come out saying something insane. Here, let's take a look at your exact svara and see why it proves that it's nutty, all right? Because let's use the same kal v'chomer in the inverse. If during the rest of the year when a Pesach is not kosher, if you shechted as a Pesach, it's not kosher. But if you shechted the Pesach for another type of carbon, it would be kosher. Because it's not a Pesach Bizmano, that we said in the Mishnah Beferish, only a Pesach Bizmano is pasul shelo lishma. So I'll make a kal v'chomer. Bizmano, when it's kosher lishmo. So kosher kainah should be kosher for other karbonas. Same logic. Which is, of course, nonsense. Because according to that, yukshar Pesach be'arba asah shelo lishmo. Let's now say that a Pesach on Erev Pesach shelo lishmo is kosher. Does anybody say that? The Kachata Omer, you're ready to say that? Of course you're not ready to say that. You know, it's nuts. Which proves that your logic is impeccably wrong. That's what it proves. And I'll show you. Why is it wrong? It's wrong because, look, obviously, the reason, now here is the critical word that actually leads Rabbi Yochanan to say what he said, that the same thing would be true about a chatas. Listen carefully to what Rabbi Eliezer says is wrong with Rabbi Yoshua's brain. It should have said, look, there's a tremendous difference. During the rest of the year, Mali Yoshua Achirim B'Shar Yomot HaShana Lishmo, that's because it's a bilateral relationship. The Pesach is kosher for other karbonas, and that's why the other karbonas are kosher for the Pesach. Masha Inkein, are you going to say that other things should be kosher during Erev Pesach for it when it is pasul for other karbonas? So since it's bilateral, wherever the Pesach will be pasul if it shechted it for something else is pasul if it shechted it for a Pesach. But on Erev Pesach, where it actually yeah, but on the rest of the year, where it's not pasul shechted for something else, so nothing shechted for it is pasul. Now, what does this show? It shows that Rebbe Eliezer's underlying svara is bilateralism, right? They are interrelated. When A is pasul for B, then B is pasul for A. That leads Rebbe Yochanan to conclude, well, if a chatas is pasul for an oila, then Rebbe Eliezer is saying that an oila is pasul for a chatas. It's the same bilateralism that he argued for when it comes to the carbon Pesach. Is this clear? So if you were Rebbe Yochanan, you would, if you stopped reading at this point, you would have concluded that Rebbe Eliezer clearly is agreeing with Yosef ben Choni, for sure. That, of course, is a special shita for Gavi, since he is very close to at least Choni Amargel. So, therefore, he will remember this halacha of Yosef ben Choni. Now, Rebbe Yoshua says that's not true. Now, this is a little bit complex, so please pay a close attention. Okay, we got Alon right back there in his halo, which is a good sign. So, says Rebbe Yoshua, excuse me, but if you really believe that, then what you're doing is you are making the Pesach, which was the source of this whole problem of being pasul shelo lishma, you're weakening its shelo lishma, and the shalomim, which is supposed to be kosher, generally shelo lishma, you're making the shalomim more powerful shelo lishma than you're doing the Pesach, which is crazy, because in reality, the whole din of the psul of shelo lishma is said by the Pesach and not by the shalomim. Because look, the bottom line is, a Pesach l'shem shalomim, during the time that it's shalomim time, a Pesach l'shem shalomim is kosher. But during the time of Pesach, you're saying that a shalomim l'shem Pesach is pasul. Now, how does that make sense? Because that's what you end up saying. You're saying that another carbon, and that the Pesach itself, which becomes a shalomim, if you bring a shalomim l'shem Pesach, it's pasul. Now, how could a shalomim be more chomer shelo lishma l'shem Pesach than an actual Pesach would be during the Zman Shlomim, and there, if it's brought shelo lishma, it's kosher? The whole din of the Pesach is that it's pasul shelo lishma, and the whole din by the Shlomim is that it's kosher shelo lishma. So there's a bottom line of your limud also, Rebbe Eliezer, which is off the wall. So what are you telling me? I'm the one who's wrong. You end up with an impossibility that's exactly as crazy, and I say more crazy, than the way I understood it. And therefore, I still maintain that I'm right. Okay, says Rebbe Eliezer. All right, I'll give you another explanation then. Chazar Rebbe Eliezer v'danu din acher. Look, let's look at it from another perspective, okay? What's the din of a Moser Pesach? A Moser Pesach is bar shalomim, right? Is a Moser shalomim bar Pesach? Never. There ain't no such possibility. A Moser shalomim remains a shalomim, and there's no problem of bringing it as a shalomim. How the heck could it become a Pesach? So now, here's my argument. If the Mosar Pesach is a shlomim, and nonetheless, what's the din? When you shech that Pesach as a shlomim during the time of Pesach, Erev Pesach, you shecht it as a shlomim, it's pasul, which is, wow. I mean, as we've seen all along, a shlomim is, a Pesach is a form of shlomim. Vaharaya, you actually bring it as a shlomim in the cases of the Moser Pesach, right? And even so, it's considered to be a psul shelo lishmo, despite the fact that it itself is a kind of shlomim, because its Moser is a shlomim, and af al pi kein, if you shechted it as a shlomim, instead of shechting it as a Pesach at that time, what's the din? It would be completely pasul. Now, a shalomim, which can never be a Pesach, so then that means that it is less incorporative of an identity of Pesach. So obviously, if you change the shalomim and you turn it into a Pesach during Erev Pesach, isn't it obvious that it's going to be more pasul than the Pesach would have been for the shalomim? Ah, a beautiful argument. And looking at it from this point of view, you've got no comeback, my dear friend. And therefore, I maintain my din. Halacha is that a shlomim l'shem Pesach is just as possible as a Pesach l'shem shlomim. To which, Rabbi Yoshua says, well, now, I don't think that that argument holds much weight at all. Let's take a look at a motar chatas. A motar chatas. How do we have a motar chatas? Isn't there a din of chataot hametot? How do we have a din of motar chatas? No thinking caps? No intelligence lighting up eyes? As if we never thought about this before? How do we have a motar chatas that is not one of the chataot hametot? Or do we have to go back to the basics and ask you what a chataot hametot are?
If you're mischaper with an acher?
If you're mischaper with an acher, then that's one of the five chataot hametot. Mischaper ba'alav. What?
Yerusha?
A Yerusha?
Yerusha
Chatas is Pasul. One of the five Chataot HaMetot is where the Bialin died. Ah, who said that? Ah, ha, ha. Intelligence finds its way and rises to the surface. Indeed. It does. L'chaim for David Chaim. So, if you set aside an additional animal as a backup, then it's not a chatas that you were nischaper ba'acher. Then it's moser chatas. You have leftover chatas. And that is brought as what? Doot, 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 doot. Come on, man. What is a moser chatas brought as? Woof. What kind of ola? Yay! Now we're getting moving over here. Okay. We could start playing poker soon. Okay, so it's brought as kayetz l'mizbeach, which is an ola that the tzibur gives as a dessert to the mizbeach that deserves a little bit of a snack when nobody's bringing anything to the wolf to enjoy, right? And that you be kind to the wolves in your neighborhood, please. So, I think somebody beautifully posted, maybe it was Alon who posted the Wolf of Binyamin sign on the Daf, I think yesterday. Very nice. Okay. So.
Daniel.
It was Daniel. Thank you. Okay. So if a chatas where the motar chatas is brought as an oila, if you shechted that chatas for an oila, it's for going to be pasul. So if an oila, which is not in any way ever going to be a chatas, and therefore does not subsume it, you could use the same argument that you just used against me from Moser Pesach, claims Rabbi Yoshua to Rabbi Eliezer. You would be able to prove that if you shechted the oila for a chatas, it should be pasul, which obviously you don't agree with. What? 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 You don't agree with? I thought that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. He does agree with, right? Isn't that what he said? That it's a bilateral arrangement. If a Pesach is puzzle for a Shlamim, then a Shlamim is puzzle for a Pesach. Now, all of a sudden, instead of Rabbi Eliezer coming back and saying, indeed, that's exactly what I hold. No, instead he said, that's a problem, isn't it? So, obviously, says Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan was wrong. And Rabbi Eliezer does not hold that bilateralism is the issue over here. And just because a chatas is puzzle for an oila, there's no basis to suggest that an oila is puzzle for a chatas. This despite the fact that he still clearly maintains that a shlomim l'shem pesach is puzzle. Which is why I say there are three different shitas here. There's indeed Yosef ben Choni. There's the chachamim. The Chachamim hold there's zero bilateralism. Yosef ben Choni holds there's total bilateralism, both affecting a Pesach and a Chatas. And then there's Rebbe Eliezer who holds that only by the Pesach do we need to worry about something shechted for a Pesach, but when it comes to a Chatas, we don't need to worry about anything else being shechted for the Chatas. So you see that it's only Benogea this. And in fact, Rebbe Eliezer continues and explains to Rabbi Yeshua why Chatas is different than the Pesach. This is my marker, says Rabbi. Amarlo Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer said to him, no, of course not. Imamarta b'chatas, that's the reason, is because shekein k'shera l'shma kol hashana kula. Tomar b'pesach sheino kosher l'shma lo bizmano. The carbon Chatas is a very gentle kind of carbon. It's not all that specific. You can bring a carbon chatas any time of the year. You can bring a Pesach only in a very small part of one day of the year. So what are you talking about? A Pesach, remember, one of the definitions of the Chumrah of Kodesh is its specificity, correct? Kedusha means specificity. The more something is specific, the more chomor it is in its dinim of Kedusha. If a Pesach is only kosher and that part of one day of all 365 days of the year, that means it's a very, very specific korban, and therefore it has tremendous chumras. So that achatas, something for achatas is kosher, yeah, okay, achatas isn't all that specific. But are you going to say that that would be true about the Pesach? A Pesach is only kosher l'shmo in that very short time. And therefore, since it itself is pasul for its own, it's dinoshi pasul acherim l'shmo, that means that it's going to also cause a possible bilateral reaction of an oila or shlamin that shechted for a korban Pesach, and that makes sense only binogea the korban Pesach, but not binogea the korban chatas. Wow. Okay. This is heavy duty, man. It's wonderful. Now, question. Next piece. The next piece that we have, which is the end of our Mishnah, brings a shita against the shita of the opening of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama. And instead of saying that if you shecht any korban in a shinoy hashem, except for a chatas and a pesach, it is perfectly kosher. The only problem is it's eino oila for the balam l'shem chova. That's the Tanakhama shita. Now, Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, well, it depends. If you're going up, then it is kosher. If you're going down on the level of Kedusha, then it is pasul. Okay? So he gave two different explanations. He said, if you shecht a Kodesh Kodashim, l'shem kachim kalim, so then it would be pasul. If you shecht a kachim kalim, l'shem kachim kachim, then it would be kosher, because you're going up. The other example that he brought was more subtle. If you bring a bechor or a miser for a shlamim, then you're going up. Why? Because the shlamim requires all of the dinim of tnufas chazav eshok. It requires nisachim, and it requires smicha. Therefore, it is more chamur than the bechor or the miser that do not require all the above. In which case, it's another example, even though they're both kachim kalim, it's another example of a higher level of Kedusha or a lower level of Kedusha. That's the review of the Mishnah. Now let's try to understand what it was that Shimon Achi Azariah, remember he was called Shimon Achi Azariah because Azariah made it possible for him to be doing all of his learning since Azariah was the businessman of the family. This was one of the classic, the agreements of sharing the cash and sharing the Olam Haba. So this is one of the classic Yisachar Zvulun relationships. Anyway, so what is the marker of this interesting halakha? Rav Ashi says that Rav Yochanan explained, whereas Rav Acha Bereda Rava said, no, no, it wasn't Rav Yochanan, it was Rav Yai. He didn't say no, no, actually. He just said, I don't know Rav Yochanan. I know from Rav Yanai. My time at the Shimon Achi Azariah, there's a beautiful, beautiful remez to this halacha in the dinim of Truma. So what does it say over there? Ulo yechalalu et kachei b'nei Yisrael et asher yarimu l'Hashem. Asher yarimu means, b'pashtas, Truma. The Kodesh that they're going to take off as Truma. But it has a double meaning, doesn't it? Asher yarimu l'Hashem also means when you're going uphill. So, lo yechalalu, you will not be mechalal kachim if you go up with them. Asher yarimu l'Hashem. What a gorgeous drasha. So now, the double meaning of asher yarimu is there to tell me that as long as you're making things even more kodesh, more specific than they were before, you're not going to be mechalal anything. You're going to make it better, not worse. And therefore, b'muram mehem, if they're going uphill, then they were before, they were kachim kalim, and now you're calling them kachim kachim, you're not going to be mechalalim, ein mitchalalim. But the mashma'ut is, only asher yarimu. But if you're going downhill, then you will be mechalalim. But wait, come on. I mean, you know this pasuk isn't talking about that. I mean, this is like, what is this? Hasidus Torah over here. The meaning of this pasuk is a very concrete din la'alocha. V'hai la'alocha yudi asa. That's not what the pasuk is for. This pasuk is a brilliant explanation, as Shmuel explained it. And Shmuel said, from this pasuk, we learn that someone who eats tevel is going to be chayev misa bidei shamayim. What? Yep, because look, v'lo yechala lu'es katshei b'nei Yisrael et asher yarimu. What does asher yarimu mean? That which is ba'atidim litrum. You have not yet taken off truma. You will be taking off truma. Yarimu is loshen future. It's loshen atid. So if you've got something that you need to still be yarimu, then you better be careful not to be mechalal it by eating it now. But once you use that word yechalalu, then we learn out chilol chilol as a gzereshova from a tameh who eats truma. And a tameh who eats truma is a chiyev of misa bidei shamayim. And therefore, this pasuk is telling us that in eating tevel that doesn't have its truma taken from it yet, you will be mitchayev misa bidei shamayim. Now, that's what the pasuk is for. And what are you giving me this beautiful remez? Asher yarimu means going uphill. Asher yarimu means that you're going to take truma from, and you know perfectly well that that's what it means. Ah, no. Not so hasty. Im Cain, if that's what the Torah came to teach, this is what Shimon Achiazaria would say. If the Torah only wanted to come to tell me my special din, that going uphill is not a problem and going downhill is, then why did it say Asher Yarimu in the future? It could have said V'lo Yechalalu Asher Hurmu. Anything that they brought upwards is not Mechulal. Anything that they brought downwards is mechulal. But it doesn't say that. It switched to the future tense. Now, from the future tense, indeed, this is, again, information density. And this is what we're learning to understand how to read. And therefore, says Shimon, look, there's no explanation for why we would use the future tense here other than Shmuel. So Shmuel is absolutely right. But that has nothing to do with the basic words. It's still true that a muram is not mechalal. Therefore, Shema Min HaTarte, we learn out both issues. Now, the question that we still have over here is that Shimon Achi Azaria has left things quite ambiguous. Because he says, I argue with the Tanakama, and I say, b'mura mehem, it's kosher, and the other way, it's not kosher. Now, what does he mean? Is he arguing across the board with the Tanakama? Remember, there's two completely separate issues over here. One is it kosher? So he seems to be saying, if you're going downhill, then shalol lishmo will pasul any korban, right? So if you're taking kachim, you take an eila, and you shecht it as a shlomim, you're going downhill, and therefore it would be pasul. Okay, that is a very serious machlokas. But what about the other issue? How about in the opposite case, where you're going uphill, it's kosher? Did he mean to say, there I agree with you that it's kosher? Or did he mean to say, I say it's totally kosher, and I disagree with you? You say it's kosher, but it's not good enough to be Yotzi Yedei Chova. I say, no. If you're going uphill, it's totally kosher. Now, it's very ambiguous whether the machlokas over here extends to both points of the Tanakama or only to one point of the Tanakama. I agree with you in one case, perhaps, where you're going downhill, that then in such a case, I mean, we're going uphill, it would be kosher, but it's not meratzeh. But I disagree with you about going downhill over there. It actually becomes pasul. That's the question. So, boy, Rebbe Zeir, what did he mean, Shimon Achi Azariah? Did he mean it's kosher if you go uphill, but it's not going to be meratzeh? I agree with you. It's not meratzeh. Then I agree with the Tanakama. And I'm only arguing about one point. I'm only arguing about the point of whether you're going downhill, that then you're going to pasul, let's say, an oil for shlomi. Or maybe I'm arguing on both points. I'm saying, first of all, if you go uphill, it's totally kosher. And it's even meratzeh. And if you're going downhill, it's totally possible. Not like you'd say that it's kosher. So Odil Maksherim Umaratsim, and they're arguing about two separate points. Omar Abaye, or some say Rabbi Zrika, says, well, look at the two examples that Shimon Achiazaria brought for going up and going down. One example was Kodesh Kadashim for Kachim Kalim. The other example was a Bechor or a Meiser that are shechted for a Shlomim, right? So Bechor or Meiser he brings as an example of something that is going uphill if you shecht it for a Shlomim. Whereas a Shlomim that you shecht for a Bechor or for a Meiser is Psulim. That's what he says, because the Shlomim is a higher level of Kiddush, as we explained. So even though there are types of Shlomim, but the actual Shlomim is Chayev in all of the Nesachim and the Chazav Ashok and the Tnufa and the Smicha. So, if you believe that according to Shimon, Achiazaria, they are not only kosher, but they are also Miratzim, then these are terrible examples. Because a Bechor and a Meiser does not bring Ritzui of any kind. There's no Ritzui. It's just if your animal, it's a firstborn, you have to bring it on the Mizbeach. Give it to the Kohen and it's brought as a Korban. If it's your tenth one that came out of the door of the pen, then it's a Meiser. What does that have to do with Ritzui? So if he's bringing an example in which Ritzui is not even a concept, what does he mean when he's bringing it as an example? To tell me that it's kosher, but it's not Meratzim. Okay, so then if the second example is an example of things that are not Meratza, they're just kosher, then undoubtedly his first example of Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim is the same idea. It's kosher, but it's not Meratza. You call that a proof? Meaning, Ira, this you're calling a proof. Each one is a different example, and they come to explain different issues. Each one, akarita, akarita. If it doesn't have a ritzui, obviously, I can't tell you that it's going to be maratza. I mean, what a stupid inrai is that? But in the case of an oilar, the case of a shlamim, where there is ritzui, then it would be maratza. What does one prove about the other? Well, if that's what you think, why did he bother mentioning the second case, huh? So lamaika mashmalan, so what's the chiddush? Is he coming to tell us up and down? We already said that in the opening of the Mishnah. Gavov anomo kamashmalan. Didn't he already bring an example of kachim kachim shishachtan l'shem kachim kalim, etc., etc., etc.? And why does he need to go on talking about Bechor HaMaitzel l'shlamin? No, come on. There's a big chiddush over here. If he had only said the first part, I would have said, okay, the difference between kachim kachim and kachim kalim is a very significant quantum leap of chashivas. So it's clearly going uphill or going downhill. So there, I understand. There you've got Gavoa v'Namoch. You're moving to a different orbital completely. But Kachim Kachim and Kachim, I mean, both Kachim Kalim, where you have a Shlomim and you have a Bechor, a Meiser. I mean, what is the difference, really, in terms of the overall level of the Kedusha, just the way in which you treat it, the Dama, the Smicha, or the Tenufa? Maybe that's not considered to be a big enough gap. And therefore, I would think his din of Shimon Achiazaria, that it's okay if you're going up. This is not called going up. This is not called going down. That's why he had to bring that example. Yeah, excuse me. But I'm sorry that there's a Mishnah later on which tells us this din, that there is considered to be a very significant difference. And that is later on when the Perek comes to discuss the different order in which you bring korbanos. So over there it says that if you've got a shlomim to bring and a bechor to bring, always bring the shlomim first. Why? Well, a shlomim actually requires Matan Arba. It means you need Zrika on the two alternative diagonals of the Mizbeach. By the way, I think it was Alon who posted yesterday a pretty picture of the Mizbeach, and it shows you very clearly the two diagonals that have a yesod and the diagonals in which one doesn't have a yesod. So just if you want to look at that picture, you'll see it more clearly. Anyway, the blood of the Shlomi actually gets, because you throw it on the two diagonals, it hits all four sides. Masha Enkein, a Bechor, does not have Matan Arba. It's only poured down on the Mizbeach at the bottom. Smicha is necessary when it comes to a Shlomi. Nisachim is necessary when it comes to a Shlomi. Neither of those apply to a Bechor. There's no Nisachim and there's no Smicha. Tnufas Chaza Veshok is a din specifically in the Shlomi, not of a Bechor. That's why Shlomim come first before a Bechor. Now, does that Mishnah not teach you that this is significant enough of a difference to tell me that there's a din of Kedima, specifically of a Shlomim to a Bechor? So how would I think that that is not a significant difference in terms of going up or going down? If it's a significant difference in going up or going down in terms of who goes first, then it should be a significant difference in terms of Shimon Achiazariah's argument. So why do I need him to spring that here? Ah, come on. I mean, over here we're talking about the point of up or down. And over there we're not talking about the point of up or down in terms of the transference of Kedusha. There we bring it because we've got a whole list there of all of the different things, what comes first. We're going to leave this out. So we bring it over there, Ahi Agrora Nazba. We're bringing it along the way. Agrora means being dragged along with other points that are exactly because over there we talk about every different type of carbon and which type of thing comes before the other. That's why we mention even this. Whew. Can I do the Mishnah? Will you give me the additional time? I mean, Richie's been waiting for a long time for this Mishnah. Okay, Rich, we've got a thumbs up. Everybody is just sitting here on the edge of their seats waiting for Sir Richard, who's going to give us the most rousing, because we need a little bit of rousing. It's been a long day. The most rousing Zuck the Halak Mishnah that we've heard in many a year. Not bad, Rich. Not bad at all. All right, Rich. We will send you over some very important boost. It looks like you need some boost. So between Akiva and Gavi and me, we'll get you a supply of boost.
complete change of blood.
All right, excellent. Yes, we'll get you some young blood and do some training. All right, boost will be a good beginning. All right, so what did we have up until now? The din of the carbon Pesach, we said, is Pesach Bizmano. Now, what exactly is Pesach Bizmano? Now, until now, we've taken things pretty easy. And we believed that a Pesach Bizmano means what anybody would think. I don't know. It's during the afternoon of Erev Pesach, Bein Arbayim. That's what it says in the Holy Book. So that's the Pesach Bizmano. So what would be the din, says the Mishnah, if you shechted a Pesach on the 14th, but you didn't shecht it in the morning, and you shechted it shelo lishmo. So now Rabbi Yeshua says, well, it's a Pesach, shelo lishmo, which means that it's a Shlomim, right? Because it's shelo. What if it would have been the 13th and not the 14th in the morning? Well, what's the difference if it's the 13th of Tishrei or if it's the 13th of Nisan or if it's the 14th in the morning? It's the same thing. It's not the time for doing a Pesach. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, look, it's just as kosher as if it would be the day before. And it's Gil Nishchat b'shlosha asah. But amazingly, Ben Batera says, nope, it says, if it was shechted on the Bein Arbayim, the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Now, we don't know why Ben Batera says this, but we will see that it's a machlokas. Omar Shimon ben Azai. Now, ben Azai, he says, listen, gentlemen, I have a couple from 72 Zikanim, and this was on the day that they made Reb Elazar ben Azariah, they made him the Nasi. And remember, that was the day that we brought all of these special Ediot. And I tell you, in the name of the entire Sanhedrin, that kol hazvachim ha-ne'echalim shenizbechu shelo lishman ksherim, ela shelo alo labalim mishum chova. What it is that you said in the opening Mishnah is wrong. And what you should have said is not that kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman their kosher, but rather that kol hazvachim ha-ne'echalim, edible karbonis, and specifically edible karbonis, but not an oila. An oila is not edible, and therefore, if you shechted an oila to shelo lishma, it would not be kosher. Only shelo lishman that is edible is kosher shelo lishma. Ela, yes, the last part you said, shelo labalim v'shem chova, that's true. Chutz min ha-pesach u'min ha-chatat. So he added the words on the echalim. That means that he changed one thing. V'lo hosif ben azai ela ha'ola. All he did was add this din that the oila, he's arguing on the Tana Kama in only one thing. So the Tana Kama holds that an oila is kosher shel lishma, and Shimon ben Azai holds that an oila is pasher shel lishma. And therefore, the Chachomim, even though he said it was an edus that he brought in the name of all of the Beis Din, they did not accept his edus, and lo odulo chachamim. Now, what was Ben Becerra thinking? Why did Ben Becerra say that Pesach Bizmano is posel even if it's the morning of the 14th? That's not Bizmano. Why did he say that somehow magically the psul of a carbon Pesach is true on the morning? Says Reb Elazar, you know what I heard from Reb Hoshaya? I heard that the reasoning of Ben Becerra is he holds that the Zman of the Shechita of Pesach is in fact from the morning. Pesach Sheshechato Shacharit Ba'arba'a Salishmo is actually kosher. And he was makshirit, the Kula Yuma Zimnehu. He held that the words Ben Harbaim did not preclude the morning. What do you mean? Read what he said. He said it's as if. He didn't say it's kosher. He says it's as if you shechted it Bein Arbayim. So obviously he doesn't hold that the morning is Bein Arbayim. No, what he meant by saying as if, ki'ilu, was only a stylistic thing. Because since Rabbi Yoshua said, no, it's as if you shechted it on the day before. So he says, you want to talk about as if? It's as if you shechted it exactly in the afternoon. That's all, but he didn't mean that it's not actually kosher. He meant it's kosher. Oh, come on. What a crazy way to understand the Mishnah. If Ben Becerra really holds that the Zman of a Pesach is from the morning of the 14th, don't you think that this should be a machlokas in Pesachim about when is the time of a Pesach? We're going to bring this machlokas sort of agav, the din of shelo lishma, and when is that? Come on! This is a fundamental question. When do you shech the Korban Pesach? We're going to find out when you shech the Korban Pesach by talking about a nutty case when you shech the shelo lishma. That's impossible! Iyaki liflugo b'lishma. This should be a straight-out machlokas about when is this man for a Korban Pesach? Well, no, because if the machlokas would have been only b'lishmo, then I would have thought that maybe where it was shechted shelo lishmo, maybe even Rabbi Yoshua would have agreed, because he would have said, well, if it's already on the day, and miktsas of that yom is kosher for a Pesach, so then shelo lishmo is enough to passel it on that day. So the Mishnah has to tell us that according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's totally not its man, even vis-a-vis making it passel the din of when it's brought as something else, the din of shelo lishma. Oh, okay, fine. I don't like it, but let's say I swallow it. How can Rav Hoshaya claim that Ben Batera disagrees with the Holy Book? I only know what it says in the Holy Book, and it keeps saying Bein Ha'arbayim. Now, how in the world could Ben Batera say that we can ignore the Bein Ha'arbayim, which is repeated many times, and therefore it should be Ma'akev? Vaktiv Bein Ha'arbayim. Omar Ula Bereder of Eli. Well, he might understand the word Erev to be a stand-in for the word night, between the two nights. So in other words, between the night before, where you can't bring the carbon, and the night after, where you can't bring the carbon, that is the brief period from the morning during which you can bring the carbon. Doesn't have to mean the setting of the sun from the afternoon. The word Erev is used in different ways. Oh, man, so you're going to tell me that when it says Bein Ha'arbayim, that Et HaKeves HaSheni, when it talks about the din of the Tamid Bein Ha'arbayim, it says you bring it Bein Ha'arbayim. That also means you can bring it from the morning? Hakinam Yit Kuli Yom HaKosher? No, of course not. Over there it says Et HaKeves HaKata Seba Boker. If it's telling me the first one is brought in the morning, then it's telling me that the second one has to be brought in the afternoon. So there, Bein Ha'arbayim means the afternoon. Why? Why can't it be? One of them has to be brought in the morning, and the other one can be brought in the afternoon or in the morning. What makes you say it has to be the Bein Ha'arbayim has to be the opposite of the morning? Maybe Chad Baboker Ve'idah Kula Yuma. Well, because it says Echad Baboker. Et HaKeves Echad Baboker is what it says. So therefore, if it says Taseh Baboker, it means you cannot do two in the morning. All right, fine. How about the menorah? By the menorah, it says also the same thing, the word Bein Ha'arbayim. And it says over there, Be'alot Aharon Ha'Neirot Bein Ha'arbayim Yaktirena, right? So are you going to tell me you can light the menorah all day long? You don't have to light it Bein Ha'arbayim? No, there it's different. Because over there, we also have the pasuk that says in the same sugya, Be'ol me'oed, michutz v'porochet, asher al ha'edut, yaroch oto aron uvanav, me'erev ad boker. So if it says me'erev ad boker, so obviously, I mean, we even learned from there, me'erev ad boker means, make sure that there's enough oil in that menorah to burn all night long. And another thing that we learned from there is that since it says specifically in that pasuk that you have to be marich oto, it tells me only this menorah is meant to be burning from that point on. Nothing else can be done anymore in the Beis HaMikdash once you light that menorah. So, ein lecha avodah k'shera me'erev ad boker, ela zo bilvad. The very last thing you do, which cancels out anything else, no other avodah that has a din in the yom, can be done after you had already been madlik the neiros. If you had left over, let's say you had left over dam, or you didn't do the k'teres, that has to be done before the menorah is done. And that's the word oto. Mi'arvat Boker. Ein lecha avodah. There's no other avodas yom, which is kosher mi'arvat Boker, ela zo bilvat. So there it can't mean light the menorah in the morning. Okay, how about the ketoret? It says the set. What's your problem? Time is not up, right? Smack in the middle of a word. How about a ketoret where it says also, Bain.
It's going. It keeps going, Rabbi. We have tomorrow night. It's later.
We
have to discuss when the Shabbos is.
Let me finish, please. Ktoret tichtiv bein ha'arbayim. You're going to tell me that it's also kosher the entire day? You're supposed to bring one ketores in the morning and one bein ha'arbayim? No, because ketores is compared to the neirot. Because of that, since it's compared to the Neirot, Beferish, because it says, Behalot Aharonet HaNeirot Bein Ha'arbayim Yaktirena, in the same way that the Bein Arbaim by the Neirot obviously meant the night, and therefore over here it cannot mean the morning either.